Welcome to 20 Minutes with Leon, and every week, our special guest. Brought to you by Bio360 Expo, this is the podcast that shines a light on the movers and shakers of the bio transition and their vision to lead us to a vibrant, sustainable, circular bio world, one where life goes on. So hello and welcome, Michael Brogler of Neustark in Switzerland. Nice to have you with us with Leon and 20 Minutes with Leon on our podcast.
Hi, Paul. Thanks a lot for inviting us. Very happy to be here.
Great. Perfect. Well, we had a discussion last week with Guillaume Chapy of Carbon Works, which is a French startup, a joint venture between Fermentalg and Suez, who are working in the area of carbon capture and utilization. And it's interesting because today we're going to be carrying on that discussion, but with a very different utilization of the captured CO2. So maybe we can just start off by talking about Neustark, which is also a startup. I mean, obviously in this sphere, we're talking about companies that are coming through on a, it's not an established industry. So there are a lot of startups working and coming through in this area. So Neustark, can you tell us just a little bit of the background of Neustark and the history of the company itself, please?
Absolutely. So Neustark, we are a Swiss-based company, and we are around for the last 3-4 years. Basically, it was taken out from the ETH Zurich, so the Technical University in Zurich. Our two founders, Valentin and Johannes, founded the company, and Johannes did a PhD at the ETH and joined up with Valentin to found the company back then. We are now into year 3 or 4, and we are expanding. Sort of, we are installed in Switzerland. We have various plants in Switzerland, and we are expanding into the European markets this year.
Okay, so when you say we are present already in Switzerland with 4 or 5 plants, and that is the basis from which you are now looking to reach other markets around you, what does that mean? We have 4 or 5 plants in Switzerland. What are these plants doing? Please tell us a bit more about them.
That's a good question. So basically, Neustark, in a nutshell, is we are taking biogenic CO2. And we are storing the CO2 permanently into recycled concrete. That's in a nutshell what we do. If you look at it in detail, we basically try to build up the full supply chain from biogas plants, transporting the CO2, and then work with concrete recyclers to use the capacity of recycled concrete to store CO2 in the granulates. That's the way the cycle works. When it comes to the plants you were asking, basically what we do is we build the plants that can hold recycled concrete granulates. So the recycled concrete is loaded into the plants, and then we inject CO2, biogenic CO2, for about 2 hours, and that recycled concrete has the capacity to store between 10 to 20 kilograms per ton of concrete, 10 to 20 kilograms CO2 per ton of concrete.
Okay, well, this is really interesting. I mean, I think it's quite revolutionary what you're doing, isn't it? I haven't heard of anybody else coming up with an approach of this kind.
Well, in that particular sphere of using recycled concrete, using the capacity of storage from recycled concrete, there is not really a company out there doing it. I think what is really unique in a way as well is that what we are doing is to build the complete supply chain from capturing and then store it, and then also use the carbon dioxide certification market to basically build a business model that works in itself.
Okay, can you just explain to us what you mean and how that works? In terms of having the carbon credits, how that helps to build the business case?
Absolutely. So what I've just described is basically the source to sink chain, and in order to make that happen, we basically sell the carbon credits from the CO2 that we've stored permanently on the carbon credit market. And with the money that we receive back, we can reimburse the concrete recyclers to a certain degree to make that recycled concrete profitable. Basically, there's a way for the concrete recyclers to either add an upcharge to the recycled concrete, to the carbonated recycled concrete. Mm-hmm. In that case, they could not profit from the certificate because that would be double counting. And because the market is quite low margin, it's quite a low margin business and quite competitive, we can reimburse the concrete recyclers through the carbon credit, the certification market.
Okay, so by if you like, sharing the value of the carbon credit, it enables the it's an enabler in terms of getting CO2 stored concrete in larger volumes into the marketplace. In fact,
absolutely. So we build an incentive for the concrete recyclers to really recycle and inject as much CO2 into the recycled concrete as possible. By each ton CO2 stored, they get a reimbursement from us.
Okay, super. So one of the things we hear about over recent years, when as this whole potential of biogenic CO2 as something that can be an additional value for a biogas or biogas plant operator, the question has been, where are the markets? What are the markets going to be that make that a viable opportunity for them? And if we look at traditional markets, maybe they're not the most simple ones for decentralized biogas units to be able to fit into and make an economic model that works. But what you come up with and what you're proposing seems to me to and with the carbon credit sharing as well, the local demand for building materials, the local concrete being supplied with the local CO2, it seems to me that the boxes all ticked and you really can present a market opportunity for this CO2 to be valorized and utilized.
Yeah, I mean, so far as we see it in Switzerland, it really seems that a lot of the boxes are ticked, and we are trying to scale this, we aim to scale this now in other European markets, and we will see if they really are. But you're right. I mean, what we bring to the table is, so we are taking local biogas, we're going to local biogas plants, and we are trying to build some clusters around these plants with concrete recyclers in the area to keep sort of the transport quite close. And I think when it comes to the biogas plants, we are providing quite some value because we are willing to take the CO2 in a liquid form or in a fluid form. And we leave that open to the biogas plants. And if we take it in a fluid form, we invest in the liquefaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that our CO2 quality is, we don't need a very, very high quality of CO2. So because it goes back into the concrete. So that's another quite interesting factor for biogas plants.
Absolutely, that all makes it all sound very attractive. When you say markets outside of Switzerland that you are now looking to evolve into and develop into, we're talking about Europe, I imagine, maybe further afield. But in terms of Europe, are there any markets you're particularly focusing on, and if so, why?
Yeah, so we are aiming this year to enter the French market. In particular, as well as the German, mm-hmm. and the Austrian and the Dutch market. These are the four markets we have on the radar for 2023. Reasons why is we understand that in these markets, recycled concrete. So the way we look at this is we look at where is the most built concrete and where will the concrete be broken down? Now you can look at many European countries because Europe has been built over the last 100 years quite extensively. But that's one of the factors. So we need to have a lot of recycled concrete at the one hand. And then we also try to go by opportunity, of course, because building that chain that I've tried to explain before is quite tricky to enter. Mm-hmm. So building from source to sink. And so we are also taking opportunities. And whenever we have an opportunity and partners that are as enthusiastic as we are, we start to build some clusters. And obviously, we are trying to build the clusters around some of the metropolitan areas.
Right, okay, because that's where the demand for the concrete is going to be the strongest itself, I would imagine, is the logic.
That's correct. and typically, you also find biogas plants in a certain area radius around these metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we say recycle concrete, organizations, companies that recycle the concrete, they aren't actually supplying the end concrete themselves. They're supplying in an aggregate form, in a granulate form, what then goes to the ready-mix concrete site. They supply this aggregate or this granulate, we call it, with the CO2 encaptured in it, and that's how it then arrives to the final product of a concrete, pourable concrete, is via the normal chain of a ready-mix concrete supplier, I imagine.
That's absolutely correct. So we're not changing or inventing the product stream on that end at all. We do is we are entering at the concrete recycling plants, which are, by the way, quite growing as well, just looking at the circular economy and sort of using the concrete that it's out there and it's being from buildings that are broken down. And we are entering at that point, and we provide the installations and the machines for the concrete recyclers where they can add their granulates, which they already have, and we bring them the CO2, and they just inject the CO2 for 2 hours into their mm-hmm. boxes, and that's it. And then the material goes off in the usual chain.
To what extent do you work with the uptakers of this, or the demand for concrete, for CO2 embedded concrete? Do you need to work with on that side, or is the demand so strong that in fact you're there to satisfy that demand? You don't need to generate the demand from the point of view of the building industry itself. Or do you need to also, you know, massage a little bit the building industry and people who are innovators and first movers in this area so that the projects can develop in the first place? Because they say, we want that concrete with the CCO, with the CO2 embedded in it.
That's a great question. And it is the last what you said. So we're not actively going after investors and builders at that moment, because we are... What we believe is, by incentivizing the concrete recyclers through the reimbursement, I think there's quite an incentive to push that. However, we get quite some requests from end customers, from builders, from investors who want to have that concrete in their projects. And then at that case, we actively collaborate with them to help them steer through the process and bring the concrete recyclers on board in their areas.
Okay, so that's a sign that if some people come to you, that's a sign the demand is there. You don't actually need to generate it. You'll reply to it if it comes knocking on your door. But on the whole, your job is now to enable the recyclers to satisfy that demand. And that's what you're there to do.
Exactly. That's for the moment. And I think that's where we have the biggest impact. How it will look like in the long run, we will see. I think the market is very much in change, and in a lot of the things that we do are try and error. And I'm sure in 2 years it will already look a little bit different.
Yeah, that's quite possible. These things they evolve as time goes on. So yeah, you'll have your radars out and aware of how you need to evolve with it as the market evolves.
Totally.
So in terms of the concrete that the concrete that includes the granulate that has the CO2 embedded in it, could you do whatever you do with concrete today, you could use this concrete, or are there certain applications that are better suited? Are there limitations? There has to be reglementation around it all. So how is that evolving, and where do you see that going? Where are we today and where will it be in the future?
Well, so when it comes to the recycled concrete that has the CO2 stored, that specific concrete does not have any different specification than regular recycled concrete. Meaning you can use the recycled concrete with the stored CO2 in the exact same way as you would others. Now, we believe that there will be changes in the future on how recycled concrete in general is being used. And that's by the fact that there's more and more recycled concrete coming to the market. And working with recycled concrete is a well-known concept. So it's more about the norms of what is allowed to be built with recycled concrete in the market that we think will change. But the good thing for us is that the recycled concrete that we provide does not have any different characteristics than that is used today.
Okay. Well, that's obviously a good thing.
It's great. Yeah.
So there's no constraints there in terms of being able to apply concrete and utilize it. Quick question that comes to mind is the collection and the grinding of concrete that is then classified as recycled concrete into these granulates. The energy requirement for that process compared to the equivalent energy to produce what would have been the equivalent new, where's the energy balance? I imagine it's favorable, but do you have an idea of how favorable it is to recycle concrete compared to produce the equivalent from scratch, from raw materials?
And that's a very good question. To be honest with you, I would not specifically know the difference between the recycled concrete compared to the new concrete, so made out of cement. But what we know exactly is that the efficiency of using our methodology in general. So we have it depends a little bit on the energy mix that is used to liquefy the CO2, of course. Mm-hmm. But here in Switzerland, we have a 93% efficiency, meaning with out of 1 ton CO2 stored, we have 930 kilogram that is net stored in the end. So the fact that we have a process that really needs not a lot of energy is very favorable for us, and obviously then again favorable for the concrete recyclers to get some return through the certifications.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's in terms of the liquefaction of the CO2 itself. But what we know is that the cement industry is responsible for 7% of the world's global CO2 emissions of today. So even if we're not sure exactly of the energy requirement to recycle concrete, it's there may be data we can find to back that up. But I'm sure it's going to be a saving compared to the 7% that is the current global emissions for cement manufacturing.
Well, I mean, the fact that so we're not addressing the CO2 emissions that come from the cement industry by producing cement. That's sort of the other side of the cement industry, which we are not addressing at all. But the fact, I think, where we can come into play here is that we can provide an incentive, an additional incentive to use recycled concrete, and by that to reduce the amount of new cement that is being used.
Exactly. Okay, I get that. In terms of, so you've said the markets that you're looking to develop into, and one of the priority ones is France. How are you hoping, you know, what are going to be the key factors for enable that you have in your development plan in order for you to succeed in having a presence in France and with these clusters and this local production of CO2 stored concrete from your process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your strategy?
Well, I think the key factors to enter the market at the moment is sort of is on our end. Because we build up the complete chain from source to sink, it needs quite a lot of investment in terms of manpower, but also the sales cycle. You can imagine sales cycles of getting CO2 from a liquefaction plant, but even more so the sales cycle of finding concrete recyclers, getting a contract with them, building the plants, installing the plants are quite long. I mean, we talk about 6 to 9 months in an ideal case. So to make it happen, we need to scale quite fast to build these clusters. And for the moment, we're very confident from the information we have that the French market is very suitable from both ends, from the biogenic side, biogas side, as well as from the concrete recycling end. Now it's up to us to make sure that we can build that chain as quickly as possible. Because what we realize right now is often when we talk to customers, they are very interested. And obviously, the more we are present in the market, the more plants we can build, the more we come down with the costs, etc. So it's really about getting sort of the momentum around these clusters going.
Okay. Yeah. So it really is a matchmaking affair that you're involved in here. it's not just here we are, here client, I have something for you. You've got two clients to bring into this picture and get them to collaborate together, and you put the plug in the middle sort of thing.
Yeah, that's wonderfully put. I think it's really about matchmaking, and it's being able to talk to both sides. I think the customers and partners, they really get it. They love the idea of have the local sink and source concept. It's really about making that match possible. And in timelines, in regards to us, in timelines that are quite fast. Yeah.
Yeah, you said 6 to 9 months. For me, my first reaction was actually that I think that's quite an accelerated process from concept to the project. What you think it is, then that is a measure of that is for me that says that the demand is there.
Absolutely, I mean the demand is there, and I think when you look at from the big pictures, the process is quite. The process is quite fast, but we know we can get much faster. And our goal, right. Our Neustark's goal is to store 1 million ton of CO2 by 2030. So we need to build a lot of plants. And that's why we need to get going this year. And we get very good responses from the market, and we are good. Very excited to have the first plants in France running by the mid of this year.
Fantastic. Wow, that's good news. That's okay, good to hear. Where will that be, can you say, or will you announce that in Nantes?
Well, we're right. Keeping this a little bit secret, because okay. It's obviously also for some of the partners on the recycling end. You can imagine they're in the cement industry, and having to announce something that helps them decarbonize the industry is quite important for them as well.
Yeah. So timing is going to be, it's a timing thing there. Okay. But that's encouraging to hear that something's in the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working on it.
Okay, Michael. Well, thank you very much. I think I'm sure I've got more questions, but I think we've already covered a lot of ground. Just to say that we are looking forward to having you join us in Nantes in February, which is only 1 month away now. No doubt you'll be able to, you'll have the opportunity to explain in more detail with visuals, to help people really understand what this process is about and where you can and how you can help them to either create a more valuable recycled concrete, or how you can help them to find a market for their biogenic CO2. And as you well know, with the objective that Europe now has to drastically increase the biomethane content in Europe's networks, the market demand for your kind of solution, you're the right place at the right time.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for having us on the show. It was wonderful, and we're super excited to come to Nantes and talk to the everybody in the industry and learn and see what where the innovations are, and hopefully find new partners as well.
I hope so too. Okay, Michael.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Paul.
Very much. We'll sign out there. And look forward to seeing you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye now.